Blog Talk Radio.
Their featured stories and articles splash across the pages of magazines, newspapers, and online publications throughout the world. They are opinion makers, thought leaders, and trendsetters, and the general public follows them, reads their copy, and takes their advice. They are the freelance writers of the world, disciplined to get that message out to a hungry audience of people who want the information that they have to share. And with more than a decade under his belt, Sekou is one of the best freelancers in the business. We'll talk with this author and writer from his New York office and learn how he finds new opportunities and leverages relationships to push his writing career forward. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas calling from very sunny Boston. I hope it is pleasant weather wherever you happen to be. We are always glad to have you on the show. For those of you who are listening either as an archive or you've heard about Focus on Empowerment here on Blog Talk Radio, we always love for you to either call in with your comments or listen on the line at 646-727-2766, or you can share it with your friends so they can listen anytime 24/7 by either downloading the show after the fact or listening live at www.blogtalkradio.com/globalcarol. And that's C-A-R-O-L-E. You can actually sign on to Blog Talk and talk to me live in the chat room during the show. I always love live listeners, and we do have them, and we do appreciate all those who listen literally around the world. I don't know about you, but I'm having a lot of fun listening to and watching the Olympics and all of the 10,500 athletes from 204 countries with 26 different games, 300-plus different activities. It is a world spectacular that is going on right now, and it's very exciting. From a diversity and multicultural point of view, I would encourage you to go to the Parade of Nations. Now, I know here in the United States, NBC is the official carrier of the Olympics, and you'll probably have to either go to NBC.com and get that or go to your cable carrier and download. It's a one-hour format that actually has a parade of all of the countries that are participating with the Olympics, and literally the entire world is there participating in some form or fashion. There are only about maybe 10 other countries, and these are primarily disputed areas or very small countries that are not participating with the Olympics, but the rest of the world is there, and it's really exciting to see the Parade of Nations that takes place during the opening ceremonies, to see all the countries, see their native garb, and to see everybody just jammed up into that huge arena in East London in the Great Britain. I'm excited about it, and I'm encouraging those to see it because we are multicultural, we are global, and it's a way for you to get a real sense of what the world is all about. I'm also very excited about my book. It is selling at a clip. I am excited that 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, your home, and your community is doing well, and there is information in there for you. If we have a chance to, at the end of this program, we'll talk more about the book, or we will talk about it at length next week. You can go to my website, www.tellcarol.com. That's TELCAROLE.com, and learn more about the book and order it there, or you can go to Amazon.com, which some people are now doing, yay, and you can actually order the book there. So I would encourage you to do that. This is really the second of many other books that I'm going to be writing on the subject of multiculturalism, global diversity, empowerment, and leadership. We are excited because Connections Magazine will be coming out very, very soon. We'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come. Also, our cruise is up and running. We are signing up those who want to cruise with us next April 13th through the 20th, 2013, leaving from Miami, Florida, going to Puerto Rico, St. Martin, and St. Kitts. It's just way too much to talk about during this very small segment, but we'll give you more information in the coming weeks. But again, you can go to my website, two websites, tellcarol.com and also mssconnect.com, mssconnect.com, and find out how you can, for a very small amount of $250, put your deposit down, pay monthly, and come cruise with us for an 8-day, 7-night fabulous tour. And we've now set the date for the 6th Multicultural Conference that will take place on Friday, October 26th. At the University of Massachusetts Boston campus. Again, we'll be telling you more about that information. We have put on 5 previous conferences as part of the Multicultural Symposium series. This is number 6. It will be the best yet. So lots going on. We want you to continue to enjoy your summer if you are in the northern part of the equator, north of the equator. You're celebrating summer right now, and our friends who are south of the equator, it's wintertime, but we hope that you will continue to be a part of our broadcast. Well, a lot of people sit at their desk, they say, I have a book in my head, I have a story, I have an article I want to write, and they dream away, and in many cases never really step out there on faith and become a freelance writer, author, publisher, or whatever. But we have a guest who has actually done that. He's been doing it for over a decade, done a great job, always coming up with great ideas, and I'm very delighted to have, for a second time on my program, I think first time on a Blog Talk. We had him earlier on when I was on terrestrial radio here in Boston, but I'm really glad to have Sekou on the air with me. Hello, Sekou from New York. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me again. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. I remember your very first book. I was thinking about that today. How long has it been since you wrote your first book?
My first book, When Butterflies Kiss, came out in 2001.
Yeah.
That was a serial novel. That was a concept that was invented by Agatha Christie back in the 40s, 50s. So the idea was, you know, there were 10 different writers who each wrote one chapter of the same story. So that was the concept, and the title was When Butterflies Kiss.
Huh. I remember that because you had there was a great big book signing that your parents had for you here in Boston. I attended.
Absolutely.
And was so very proud of you and said, wow, you were in many ways an inspiration for me to write my first book. So hats off to you, too. Definitely.
Glad to be an inspiration.
Absolutely.
That.
Hey, we have to, one person supports each other. So when I look at that, tell me, how far back did you know that you wanted to become a writer?
I guess we'll go back to college. I went to Morehouse. And,
yay!
You know, I'll take a step back further. In high school, also in Atlanta, I was part of an international studies magnet program. And so when I went to Morehouse, I just continued on that same track, international studies, political science. But then going into my senior year of Morehouse, I realized that all of my extracurricular activities were writing related. It just surprised me. You know, I realized I was freelance writing for a magazine even then as an intern. I was writing for the Spelman newspaper, the Morehouse newspaper, and I realized that that was something that really resonated with me. So, so I finished my degree, but then I came to New York to pursue writing.
Why New York?
Because it's really the mecca for writing. All the publishing companies here, all the magazines are here. Obviously, this day and age, you can telecommute, you can do online and that kind of thing. But at the time, I felt like I needed to be where everything was happening. So yeah, I came to New York and decided to pursue being a writer full time.
And this was in the late 90s?
Yeah, this was late 90s, maybe early 90s, maybe 94, 95.
So you've been there almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, so I should change my copy. I said you for over a decade. I should say for almost 20 years.
Yeah, but I like a decade much better. Thank you very much. Let's just stick with that.
So, again, some people dream. You actually pursued it. some people pursue their dreams and then abandon ship and then go elsewhere and change. You haven't done that. You've stuck with writing. Why and how has it been in almost 20 years sticking with writing and doing the kind of writing that you have done for magazines, newspapers, and your own publications?
Yeah, well, I am definitely all those people you just named. I'm the person who stuck with it, but I'm also the person who abandoned ship. I've had my bouts where I ran away screaming. So let me summarize. When I came to New York, I started in PR. I was assistant to someone at a PR firm, so I started writing press releases, media alerts, that kind of thing.
Right.
And that evolved into writing the bios for the recording artists, because that was an entertainment PR firm. We had a lot of recording artists that we represented. So I would interview the recording artists, and I would write their bios. And so it started off kind of small, and then I was writing bios for more notable people. Mm-hmm. And then I started freelancing, so writing for different publications from that job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still kind of a gradual progression. Like I was also writing a book on the side. The book that we just talked about, When Butterflies Kiss, was actually the second book that I wrote. The first book that I wrote was shot to lots of major publishers in New York. But the second book, Butterflies Kiss, had much more appeal because of the creative concept, because there were 10 different writers, and it was a concept that was invented by Agatha Christie, and it had that kind of momentum, so it was published first.
Right.
So I was writing those books while I was freelancing, and I ended up with a job on the corporate side of the magazine industry. I was working on the I was working at Time Magazine, but I was working in a department that responded to the letters to the editor. So if you write a letter to the editor of Time Magazine, I was one of the people who would respond and answer all the different parts of your letter, because that was the mandate. We had to give a full response, right? Not no pat response.
That must have been an interesting job. Yeah.
it was daunting sometimes, because Time Magazine got a lot of letters.
Oh, I bet.
So I was writing there on the job, but I was also writing, you know, novels on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, again, the business side of the magazine industry.
Right.
And then it wasn't until some years later, well, I've been freelancing all along, but I ended up on the editorial side of the magazine, and that was Uptown Magazine when they very first launched in 2005. And I was the first full-time employee of Uptown Magazine, and so I was writing just about the whole magazine in the very beginning. And as the magazine developed, like it's a very popular magazine now, so as it developed and they hired more people, I started kind of selecting, picking and choosing what I wanted to write about as opposed to writing just about everything.
Right.
And then after being in Uptown for a while, I, you know, left and started doing freelance. So I say all that to say that in between those jobs that I talked about, the PR firm and Time Incorporated and Uptown, I've had long stints of being a full-time freelancer. And then I've had shorter stints of, you know, working full-time, but also as a writer.
Okay. Huh. Well, that's a fuller definition of who you are and how you've – but it's all been around writing. So, I mean, it's not like you've gone out and become an accountant.
Right.
You've stuck with the discipline,
exactly.
But you've done it inside and outside. And I guess the continuity of your freelance writing has never ended. So in this almost 20-year period, you've continued with your freelance writing.
Exactly. I've been freelancing the whole time.
Now, have you published another book since your 2001 publication?
Yeah, I have three books out, including When Butterflies Kiss. My second book was a collection of first-person essays of people who had survived Hurricane Katrina and had moved back to New Orleans to help rebuild the city. So it was a very interesting group of folks who just felt really tied to the city. Yeah, and I worked with a nonprofit there in New Orleans to create this book. And it was really challenging. It was very emotional because what we did is we audio taped each of the things. And then I would transcribe and kind of edit what their first-person accounts were.
Uh-huh.
So people talk a little bit differently than they write. And so it was very visceral. And everyone knows it was horrible, but when you get into the specifics, people's individual experiences, that really gets tough.
Wow.
Just for a quick example, there was one person in the project who was used to hurricanes. So her process was she always packs 3 days, goes to her friend's house, next date over, you know, has fun, and then comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just interesting to imagine what it was like for her to have packed for 3 days and then not be able to return home for 6 months.
Wow.
So just,
wow.
Just in terms of clothing even, or the unexpected expense of buying new clothes and
right.
that kind of thing. So anyway,
right.
that was a really interesting project. That was
mm-hmm.
called Stories of Survival. And then my third book is a collection of short stories. All this time that I've been freelancing, I've also been writing short stories, short fiction stories. And they've been published in a number of different anthologies.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point I decided, let me collect those different stories that have been published in other people's anthologies
mm-hmm.
and create my own anthology of my own short stories and add some new stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so I published that maybe a couple years ago, and that's called The Sound of Silk at Midnight.
Hmm. Have they been, your third and fourth book, have they been self-published? Were they trade published by a publisher in New York? How was that process done?
Well, the second book was really published by the nonprofit. They wanted to kind of control that project, which I think was important. And then The Sound of Silk at Midnight, my collection of short stories, I self-published. I just wanted to put that project out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how has that book done?
It's done pretty well. I mean, you remember when I was doing When Butterflies Kiss, and I was really, really active and out there and really promoting it. And I haven't been as actively promoting The Sound of Silk at Midnight because I've been doing some other things, not the least of which is I started a website that writes about automotive content for multicultural women.
Mm-hmm.
So that's called simplyrides.com, and that's been taking up the majority of my time since I left Uptown.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, again, what I'm hearing from you versus some other writers is that you have adapted to the times. I mean, you've been out there almost 20 years, and 20 years ago, email, Facebook, all that stuff was just, you know, they were words. They were not really
right.
actionable large companies. So
right.
you've moved from the typewriter, literally the IBM Selectric typewriter, you know, through word processing, we know about that, you know, into literally taking a smartphone or taking an iPad and you can create a book. There's a woman I saw on television a couple of days ago who literally has written a book on her BlackBerry.
Wow.
Her whole book was written in New York on her BlackBerry on the subway. She would just get these ideas literally on the subway. She wrote a novel, and she would just drive right from one end to the other writing this book while she's, you know, working 9-to-5 job. So
her
now
thumb it must be really tired. Her thumb must be really tired.
I thought that was absolutely incredible. You know, and I've written books, and my book in airplanes and in Panera's the restaurant and all many kind of places. So, I mean, the point is that now with new media, how has it been for you? You're much younger than I am, but how has it been for you to adapt to new media but still stick to the discipline of writing that you were trained for?
It's been an interesting process. Again, I was in Uptown for a while, and I started off on the print side, and
mm-hmm.
really that's all there was at the beginning, just the print side.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we decided to have a website. I was the managing editor of the magazine before I switched sides and became the editor-in-chief of Uptown Online.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, in a sense, relearn everything
mm-hmm.
because, especially at the time, everyone was trying to figure out the lay of the land in terms of a website that is affiliated with a print publication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you just reprint all the content? Do you
mm-hmm.
do original content? Like, you know, how much original content and how often? And so it was really interesting to explore that learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been helpful to me. Like, I decided that, like many other people, that is where things are going. Like, there's
right.
this kind of a movement away from print to online. And mm-hmm. the rules are, they're similar, but they're definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the advent of blogging,
mm-hmm.
there's some similarities and some differences. So as a journalist, we had a process at Uptown. So, you know, you write the story, and then it has to be fact-checked and copy-edited, and there's all these different rounds that the story has to go through before
right.
it's finally ready for public consumption.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got the advent of blogging, where it's really, like, what am I feeling right this second? And it's out. It's
right.
gone. It's
right.
out there into the world.
No
and
matter
so,
what it looks like, or
no matter what it looks
how
like,
many grammatical errors
like,
you make.
No matter how many errors, no matter who you pissed off, all those things. And so it's been interesting for me trying to kind of find a happy medium for myself
mm-hmm.
where I feel like, all right, I've sat with the work long enough and I'm comfortable with it and I can put it out now, but also not letting the grass grow under my feet, because you got to,
right.
with an online publication, you got to stay fast. You got to
yeah.
you know, keep up.
Yeah.
So that's been interesting for me.
Well, I think what the value that you bring to the table is, A, you are, quote, classically trained. If I were to use those words, you have an undergraduate degree, a master's degree in this field. You've worked for traditional trade publications, so you have that. But yet that hasn't stopped you from learning new media. I can
right.
really see you of value to bloggers and new media content providers who don't have your background but can benefit from your thought process, because, you know, through it all, you know, and I guess I'm sort of in between also, not having a degree in writing, but I do an awful lot of writing and have seen the progress that we've made in the evolution that's taken place. There is still a pattern and a process that you have to think about when you're writing. There are still rules that have to be followed so that the end user can understand what you're saying. And a lot of, I would imagine, those who have not had that experience don't understand that in order to really communicate a message effectively, you've got to follow a process so that the person on the other end will completely understand what you're talking about. Would you
right.
not agree with that?
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah, you've got to have a
process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting you mentioned that, you know, bloggers might be able to learn something from me. I can learn a lot from bloggers, too. There was a recent car trip that I was on. I was covering an Essence event that was sponsored by Lincoln. So I was there because Lincoln was a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
In association with Simply Rides. So I was there with a blogger, and I just wanted to see, you know, how a blogger would engage in the same event.
Right.
And so I just asked her to show me everything that she was doing, and I was going to do everything she was doing.
Uh-huh.
And I was exhausted. I got to tell you, I was exhausted. And it's such a constant minute-by-minute grind. By the end of the night, I was like, girl, please, are we done? Are we good? Are we still working? So it's definitely a learning curve both ways.
So she was covering every activity and then publishing it live? So she was in a chronological order covering the event?
You know what? The thing about blogging is immediacy.
Yeah.
So we were doing, let's just keep it at the red carpet. We're covering the red carpet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm trying to get video interviews, like get someone on film talking about the event and talking about Lincoln's involvement, that kind of thing. She's doing that, but she's also taking pictures of the person talking to her
okay.
and then putting that out on social media immediately.
Got
this is where I am. This is who I just talked to.
Got it.
And now I did all that before the next person comes up to the camera. And
got
so
it.
Everything all the time, like kind of no downtime.
Yeah, and as a content provider, the blogger is everything. So she's a one-hat wonder. So she's the
mm-hmm.
photographer. She is the distributor in terms of pushing
right.
it out to the distribution.
Right.
She's the writer. So, yes, you're right. It's having recently covered the general conference of the AME Church in Nashville, Tennessee with 15,000, 20,000 people, I blogged. So I did the same thing. I took pictures. I pushed it out. I was giving commentary, did the same kind of thing. So it is
yeah.
It's quite taxing.
right, it can be.
Quite taxing. In closing, again, you have successfully monetized your career path. Again, you're not in rags. You're not in
right.
the soup line. Thank goodness you've done that.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
you've gone in and outside. It's a perfect blend of the traditional versus the new media. Where does Sekou see himself going forward in terms of your craft, your art, and the messages that you want to put out to the world?
Well, let me talk about the monetization a bit. So I just want to For anyone listening who is thinking about doing something like this, I just want to point out that it's really about networking. Networking is essential. You want to join some trade organizations like NABJ or New York ABJ. In my case, the International Association of Motor Press. Like, you want to be in spaces where you can meet people that can give you assignments. Because that makes it easier to get the assignment. And then I've been able to monetize because I'm still doing freelance writing for different publications. Like, I still write the car section for Uptown, for example. Mm-hmm. I still do some stuff for Upscale for other places. And in terms of Simply Live, I've been able to monetize the site in terms of ad banners. Different companies paying to put their product on the site itself. And
right.
So in terms of the future, I'm really dedicated to Simply Live right now. I think it's a very unique niche because I'm bringing automotive content, not just to women, but to multicultural women, and not just multicultural women, but affluent multicultural women. So it's a very specific niche, and it's a niche that people don't usually talk to in terms of automotive content and lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy to be exploring that niche, and I think I'll be able to monetize it even more than I have thus far. And I think that'll be the next big thing. And then I've got some more books on my hard drive that I need to get out into the world.
Do you ever see yourself in terms of being a screenwriter? Is that something you've explored?
You know, my first book, When Butterflies Kiss, was optioned by Outkast, the rap group. They wanted to turn it into a film. And
mm-hmm.
so I wrote some treatments of, you know, how it could be imagined as a film. And that was a really interesting process for me. And so I still have some affinity for that. I'd like to do something like that in the future. And also one of my other freelance assignments now is I write for the Sci-Fi Channel. And so that's very interesting and very different than what I do on a day-to-day.
I bet.
I work for a number of their shows. And so that's helping me kind of get a sense of formula and what happens when. And so, I do intend to do something in either film or TV at some point in the near future. And probably it'll be car-related.
And would I say that your location, again, I go back to the beginning of our conversation, you elected to leave Atlanta, graduate from school, and come up to New York because at that time that's where the events were taking place. That's where you could really launch and springboard your career. Would you say that your career has continued to move forward because you have been in New York, or could at this point you move to Tahiti and do the same kind of work?
Well, I'd like to think that after my decade in the industry that I could move to Tahiti or someplace else and still be able to do the work that I do, because in some circles I'm a known commodity, and so that I don't have to pitch quite as hard. But it has been very beneficial to me to be here and to be able to rub elbows with people, because even when you are a known commodity, if you're not seeing people, if you're not, you know, kind of shaking hands and kissing babies and saying,
right.
hey, I want to write something, it
right.
gets, I mean, there's so many people in New York who want to be writers, and everybody wants a shot, and there's always someone that'll do it for less.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps to kind of stay in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been beneficial to me, but I'd like to think that I'm at a place now where I can build Simply Rides out to what it needs to be from any place.
Great, great. Give us your website where people can get in touch with you, Sekou.
Well, I've got two. SimplyRides.com, R-I-D-E-S, the traditional spelling, SimplyRides.com, and SekouWrites.com, SekouWrites.com. Those are the places where you can find out more about me.
Super. I thank you so much for being a guest on my program. Just fascinating listening to how you have woven your way into trade publications, traditional print, and now the blogging business and the automotive business as well, in terms of affluent multicultural women. We wish you the very best, Sekou. When you come out with a new book, the new aunts of your business, please, we'll have you back on the program.
Well,
thank you so
much. I'd love to do that.
All right, take care. A great, talented, gifted young man. We're always looking for that kind of guest on our program. We thank Sekou for being a guest on the show today, and hopefully it sort of inspired you to go out something different, bold, courageous, something you really want to do, it's been in your head and you just are too afraid to, get on out there and get it done. Because empowerment begins really believe when you believe in yourself, and belief in yourself and your talents and your abilities are so important in our world today. Hope you have a great week or weekend. Hope you are enjoying the Olympics. We'll be back next week with another exciting show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We will talk to you soon.